Father, I thank you, Lord, for this gathering together again this morning and afternoon for those in the afternoon time. We are blessed to be able to come together in prayers, for prayers, in fellowship for prayers, and in sharing the word of God from day to day. Even as it is written, they continue daily in fellowship, in prayers, and breaking of bread, in the apostles' doctrine, and so forth. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us to pray today. Hallelujah. And the admonitions for prayer, let it stir us, stir something up in us, in the name of Jesus. The entrance of your word, Lord, we declare, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask, O Lord, that you stir up within us the fire. Prayer fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. We want to spend some time in prayer. Every so often, we got to do this. And the scripture admonishes us in different places about the need for prayer, but more so the need for consistent, relentless prayer and fervent prayer, effectual prayer. I mean, not just we say a few words or run off, but we pray until something happens. That's an acronym for PUSH, actually. Pray until something happens. Well, not just something, actually, but what we are believing God for and what we need. So, we are going to pray for protection and covering, especially today. Protection over our lives, covering over our lives and even our minds, that no one, the scripture says, we should exhort one another, as we see the day approaching, lest anybody be discouraged or overtaken in anything that is not wholesome. But today, as we are gathered together, there's actually also strength in corporate prayers. Every time you can get one more person to join you, Jesus said, when two of you shall agree concerning anything that they shall ask, he said, well, I will grant it and I will do it. When you get two and you get more, be in agreement, it can really, really be powerful like that. So we are going to trust that the Lord will give us the prayer fire today and the unction to do the same, to pray until we see results. Praise the Lord. There was a time in the life of the apostles or disciples around Jesus that Jesus was instructing them to pray. Something was about to happen to Christ. And they took three of them and went somewhere to pray. The Garden of Gethsemane, but their eyes were heavy and their hearts were sorrowful and they really couldn't pray. And as the story went, Jesus said, stay here and watch with me for an hour. And he went a little further and being in agony, we're told he prayed earnestly, until there were great drops of sweat from his forehead that looked like blood. I mean, it was some kind of prayer that he was praying. But the disciples, unfortunately, were sleeping. And when Jesus came to check on them, he said, "Are you sleeping? Can you be sleeping at such a time?" And I asked them to admonish them to pray. Pray as you enter into temptation. But they slept. And he went again away a little ways, prayed some more, came back, you know, and still they were sleeping. About three times he did that. Now we see that if they would have helped the Lord in prayer, it probably would have taken him just 1 hour. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Watch with me for an hour." But because they wouldn't join in the prayer, it took him three times as long to pray through that thing. And what was Christ praying about? Well, all the things that he himself had taught. Talking about, you know, a pearl of gold. I mean, a pearl of great price that a man found and had to sell everything that he had to get it, purchase the field, this and that and so forth. There was something that Jesus was going for, and he had to get it. And it was called the pearl of great price. And this is the purchased possession. He had to get it. And that's you and me and everyone that believed the name of the Lord, that ever believed and will still believe. And Jesus was going to get them all. He said, "I will lose none of them." And yeah, but it was a fight. Satan wasn't going to give up anything. You know, and Jesus had to pray and pray and pray and pray. You know, let's see, you know, the kind of prayer that Jesus was praying. You know, in this particular prayer, we know where he started out with, you know, just praying over himself, you know, that the Father's will be done. So let's read in Luke chapter 22. We're going to read a few things. "And he came out, went out as he used to do to the Mount of Olives." Luke 22 verse 39. "And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed." See? "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Yeah, so we see that an angel can even come to strengthen us in a time of serious situations. I mean, this was the God's divine purpose, you know, and the main participant, the number one participant in that thing that was going to bring that home. You know, he was at crossroads because he knew in his heart that he was going to become darkness. Yeah, because he was going to carry all the sins of the world and he was going to become darkness. And that light for a moment was going to be snuffed out of him. And that was unthinkable, separated from the Father. He was going to be, he knew it too. Because according to 1 John 1 and 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you're going to carry the sins of the world, well, you are going to be darkness. You can't, you know, the Lord God, the Father, the Spirit of lights, is not going to have any part of that for just a moment. But it was all part of the plan. And he dreaded that moment of separation. Looking, is there even another way? Well, there isn't. Was conflicted within his spirit as a man at the time. And he asked his disciples to pray. And in that place said, "Pray with me." But they didn't. And being in agony, we're told, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat, this is the part I want to bring up. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I mean, what manner of prayer, an agonizing prayer is this? That someone will pray until they were sweating blood from their forehead. Oh my goodness. That was some prayer. And that was some travail to get the pearl of great price. And he did it too. And that's why we are here today, to give him glory and praise throughout our lives. The champion of our faith. He fought and got us back from the devil. And the devil wouldn't give it up easy, but Jesus got it. And he said, the ransom that I will pay for everything that the devil had hijacked, kidnapped, whatever, is my life that I will give. See, my flesh that I give for the life of the world. And he did it. But, you know, when it came to these folks, they were not praying. And the lesson that Jesus had told them, pray that you enter not into temptation, but they didn't do it. And it turned out that they did enter into temptation. You know, because the hour came where they would be faced with, I mean, the ultimate test of their faith at the time. To see, well, you are also one of them, you know. And they say, no, I'm not. But had they prayed through when Jesus was telling them, you shall be offended because of me this night, he told them. You know, in Matthew chapter 26, he was telling them in verse 31, you'll be offended because of me tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and I will scatter the sheep of the flock. The flock will be scattered, one shot, you know. And after I'm risen again, then I'll go before you into Galilee. So Peter, of course, you know, always want to be quick to say something. So, well, even though all men may be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. See, you know, I mean, in his mind, he thought he could do it, but he didn't do it. He thought he could stand the test and he would never do it. But without prayer, that's not going to work. You know, Paul himself said, look, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's no, without prayer, you're standing on shaky legs at best. And not just, you know, some few minutes or random prayer, or some people say microwave prayer. In just 10 seconds, you're done. No. You got to grind in, you know, double down sometimes, stay right there. And Jesus said, look, sit ye here, you know, I go pray, you know, I told them, you know, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And when he came back, he said, what? You couldn't watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray, he said, that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know? And we say, well, I'll never deny the Lord. That's your spirit. Because you don't want to deny the Lord, but the flesh is weak. We need to pray this flesh down. Pray it down, put it down. Get this flesh on the altar and roast it, if you will, until it completely dies, so that the spirit might have the upper hand. He went forward and prayed, you know, if that possible to remove this cup, if not, let thy will be done, came again, and they were still asleep. Up and down, they were still sleeping. So I said, okay, sleep on now. And take your rest. The hour is at hand. Son of man will be betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. For he is at hand that doth betray me. But you see, it was necessary for them to be praying in the hour of temptation, but they were not praying. We're going to be praying today. Well, that's one area. There are many other areas, you know, Second Corinthians, you know, we're told in chapter 2. Well, this is actually Paul's testimony. He said, look, I don't want Satan to get an advantage of us. Second Corinthians 2 verse 11. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, unfortunately, a lot of believers are indeed ignorant of the devices of the devil. Just because Paul said we're not ignorant, well, maybe he wasn't ignorant, but many people are ignorant. We don't know how the devil operates. Attacks the mind, brings discouragement, disappointment, and all these things. Prayerlessness is one of the greatest tools that the devil will use. Find all kinds of distraction for you to not be prayerful and not to read the word and not to spend time with God. And it got you in that posture. You are defeated already because you have no power. Our power as believers really comes to us from spending time in prayer. I mean, Jesus demonstrated this during the days of his earthly ministry, always rising a great while, you know, before day. He would go up into Mount Olives or whatever, he would be there praying. Disciples woke up in the morning, they'd be looking for him and say, wow, you know, probably spent the whole night praying. You know, Mark chapter 1:35 says, in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, you know, and he just prayed. Well, the way that Jesus did it shows us the way that we should conduct our lives. We need to make prayer a business with God. Several people in the Bible that did that. Daniel was a man of prayer. He made prayer a business. He had a time of prayer. And there was a culture also. Even up through the early church, you know, it was still a culture for them, you know, to have set time for prayer. And they went multiple times a day. And in Acts chapter 3, it was such an hour of prayer that Peter and John were going to keep in the temple when they saw that man at the gate. Then they ended up healing in the name of Jesus. Said it was the hour of prayer, and they were going. And Daniel, like I said, a man of prayer. He would stay at his post, pray. They had set times of prayer, you know, every day. And didn't matter what decrees, commandments, and laws, or anything that was made to try to entrap him, he stayed right there with prayer. And it paid off, because the Lord responded in kind and delivered him from those that tried to entrap him, got him thrown the Daniels into the lion's den. You know the story. You know, so the people have made prayer a business. Now, it's a good thing that when we get into trouble, we should call upon the name of the Lord, and he will deliver us if we know how to use our faith. But, you know, we can also use daily prayers to prevent those snares in the first place. There's a lot of things that we can be praying about. You know, many evils happen during the day. I mean, we see it on TV all the time. You know, random violence, shootings, targeting people out in a crowd and shoot them. All kinds of things, you know, accidents, maybe driving, you know, these things, spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, people might be driving down the road, the devil target them, have a tire blowout. You know, that's intended to cause you to be in an accident. some crazy person may be driving behind you or in front of you. We have no control. You can, even no matter how careful you are, you can say, well, I'm a careful driver. I'm going to be careful and so forth. Well, what about the person behind you? What about a person in front of you? Yeah, you never know. Some crazy person coming trying to T-bone you. You know, there's just so much evil out there. Should our hearts then be afraid? Of course not. But we got to pray. See, I mean, people are going through their lives. One day their health is suddenly, sudden illnesses and sicknesses and attacks and various things. I mean, we're hearing more and more these days on so many different things. Diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, this, cancer, that, this, what have you, and so forth. Even among the body of Christ. And these things ought not to be. And why? Well, because Satan is taking an advantage of our prayerlessness. We're not as prayerful as you could be. Then Satan takes advantage. You're going on a trip and you're not all prayed up. If something begins to happen when you are in the air and there begins to be turbulence and serious one, and you know, plane drops several hundreds of feet, people start to scream and yell, panic for their lives because they know that they're going to crash. Well, I mean, you can pray in distress and the Lord will hear you. But you could also pray ahead of time and avoid that situation altogether. You know, you actually need greater faith to come out of a multi-car crash than to avoid that crash in the first place. So, you know, if something terrible is going to happen, you know, and you're going to walk out of it unharmed, it's take greater faith. But you can avoid that all together in the first place. Pray some more. You know, pray through every situation. Let's not just take things for granted. Devil is working. And let's not be ignorant of his devices. If he can take out, you know, your strength, you know, which is through prayer. You know, cause you to be distracted by many ways or many things, so you don't pray as you should, then he got you beat already. And the devil knows these things. But we must be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. You know, we got to know, you know, we got to get up and pray. The song we played at the beginning said, look, nothing going to happen if you just keep on relaxing. You got to get up and pray. You know, you got to get up and pray. Get up early in the morning, pray throughout the day. You know, scripture says pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Well, pray in your mind. You're always in the spirit of prayer. You got to be in the spirit of prayer because, you know, we're living in perilous times. And the devil is full of rage, knowing that his time is short, looking everywhere whom he might devour. 1 Peter 5:8 tells you. Your adversary, that devil, is going around looking for whom he might devour. Well, if he's always going around, then you better be always praying. You know, because you don't want to be the one that he's going to zero in on. And he's looking, you know, for that weak one. I mean, that careless one that's not praying, you know. Actually, it's written in Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 10 and verse 8. He's looking for that opening, you know, where the hedge is broken. He said, you know, break at the hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. So he's looking for that. He's coiled up as a viper, ready to strike. And sometimes he'll strike and hit a brick wall because you're full of, I mean, you're prayed up. You got your shield of faith. You're prayed up. And he thinks there's an opening, tries to strike, and he hits a brick wall. Other times, God forbid, he might find an opening and he'll be able to strike. And this is what we are seeing. The devil is getting through our defense systems. Because our defense systems are weakened through less prayer. prayer is what holds the fort up, you know, and sometimes we got to help, you know, one another as well in prayer, you know, so the, when you are weak and you can't do it, that gives an advantage to the devil. When you are discouraged and you don't feel like doing it, that also gives an advantage to the devil. You know, and when you are depressed or angry, sometimes people are even angry with God. They don't want to pray, and it gives an advantage to the devil. Whatever it is, let's make sure that Satan does not get an advantage. That's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 2:11. We don't want Satan to get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. So let us not be ignorant. You don't have time to not have time to pray. You know, let me say that again. You don't have time to not have time. Because, you know, people say, well, I don't have time. Rush now. No. You know, you're good. You might run into some snares. You know, fall into some snares. And then, you know, you would wish you'd spend that time in prayer. You know, the daily prayer, moments of prayer throughout the day will help prevent us from falling into snares. You know, and the Lord also spoke about, you know, the family setting. He said, look, the thief tries to come in the night when nobody is paying attention. Right? That's when the thief tries to come. But, you know, you also have your responsibility. Let's read one of his sayings in Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch, you know, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. See, if the good man of the house, the father, for instance, would have known in what watch the thief would come, then he would have been prepared, be ready. He's going to fight and defend his house. He would have not suffered his house to have been broken up. So there's certain responsibilities over us men, especially. Pray over your families. Make sure the thief is not coming in there. You know, you're going to fight and ward him off. And everybody, really. Women, they can do the same. Even children can do the same. Bible say that children will speak with the enemies in the gate. They can even be sometimes your first line of defense. You know, but it's incumbent upon us to have this mantle of prayer that we pray and pray. I'm not talking about, you know, people who tout themselves or they're touted as prayer warriors. I'm talking about everybody, every believer. So what we must be doing, you know, one of the weapons that Paul was describing in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, was prayer. It's often less spoken about, even when we talk about the weapons of our warfare, but it's right there. You know, he talked about so many things. He talked about helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That was one of the weapons, you know. So you can read that in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18, prayer is one of the weapons, powerful, powerful weapon. And, you know, if you can pray in the spirit as well, it's a powerful thing. And Paul said, look, I'll pray with my understanding. I'll pray with my spirit. I mean, there are times also that we don't know what to pray, but the spirit itself maketh intercession for us. You know, how we should pray. After the mind of Christ. And you let the Holy Spirit pray through you. You pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Sometimes you pray in your understanding too, because, you know, sometimes when you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. However, you speak in mysteries in the spirit. But you pray in the spirit, you pray in the understanding, you pray for your spouse, pray for your children, pray for your brethren, pray for a situation that you're going to encounter during the day. Pray for anything. You're at a crossroads, you need to make a decision. Pray. Never shoot from the hip. In other words, that means something, you just, you know, react to things without praying through. No. In fact, you know, before Jesus would select his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. And then he came down, then began to call the 12 unto him. And he called them, all of them, including Judas. And he knew what he was doing. But he spent the whole night in prayer. You know, anything we need to do, prayer, 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 prayer. Prayer is the key. Now that's, prayer is something that nobody can ever take from you. They can take the Bible from you, but nobody can take prayer from you. You know, because you can always pray. And, you know, we're actually commanded, you know, to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Non-stop prayer. How do you do that? Well, that means even while you're at work, where you're in school, where you're in the business, marketplace, whatever you're doing, your mind is on prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's even easier if you can pray in the spirit. Your mind is always on prayer. You're always praying. You know, a prayerful person like that, my goodness, they will be kept from many snares. Because your prayer will go ahead of you. You know, your prayers will go ahead of you. And God even does things for people, you know, that are prayerful, even if they don't know the Lord too much, but they are prayerful. And the grace of God can even find them, you know, among some of the things that the Lord wants us, I mean, wants people to do that he can use to, you know, that will speak for them, even when they don't know the Lord too much. It's prayer, you know, prayer. There was a story in Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius. Cornelius, he was a centurion of the band, the Roman band, Italian band called, you know, something, the Italian band. And he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. You know, it wasn't just the alms, but it was the prayers. And one day he saw evidently in a vision at night out of the day, the angel of the Lord looked upon him and said, you know, thy prayers and thine alms have come unto thee, up unto God before him for a memorial. You know, and salvation came to him and his house. He was a man of prayer. He didn't know the Lord too much. I mean, but he feared God. I mean, he had enough sense to know about God, but he didn't know salvation this way of salvation. But through his prayers and everything, as a man that was always praying, salvation came to him and came to his house. There are other people that knew the Lord and that spent their whole life in prayer, and God rewarded them. And there was Simeon, the man who was always praying, and the Lord showed him that you are going to see the Christ before you die. There was another woman called Anna, a prophetess. She was always praying, served God with prayers all day. They were in the temple praying night and day, you know, but, you know, they were never discouraged. They kept praying. And someday their eyes saw the Lord's salvation. And Joseph and Mary brought the child to be dedicated after the manner of Moses. They were right there, you know, at their post of prayer. And they were able to confirm, you know, Simeon said, well, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, which the Lord promised me I would see before I died. I would not die or taste of death until I've seen the Lord's Christ, the other woman also. I mean, so prayer, prayer, prayer. Situations where even God promised something, We've been talking about that the last few days. What God promised Elijah, that wasn't, didn't look like it was coming, but he knew it was coming. He had to pray it through. You know, you can't just say, well, God promised, then you fold your arms and go. No, you got to pray. And God already told him, I'm sending rain today. Go show yourself to Ahab. And he heard the sound of that rain coming, rushing rain. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain, but there was no rain. He had to pray it through. So prayer, I mean, I can go on and on about prayer. You know, I mean, pray, especially that you enter not into temptation. Jesus, when he was telling his disciples, they're thinking, I said, teach us how to pray. Well, one of the elements was, Lord, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation. In other words, lead us away from situations, compromising situations that will cause us to be tempted or fall. You know? Jesus taught his disciples to pray for deliverance from evil. And that must always be part of our prayer. Pray that you'll be delivered from evil, because there's always evil. The devil's always looking to strike. You must pray that the kingdom of God should come and his will be done. All the things that Jesus taught in prayer. But today I want us to focus on praying for our families. Pray for protection. You know, because there is really the raging, you know, of the devil going around, like raging, a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. You know, there are legions of devils out there trying to cause havoc every day. Well, they can cause havoc all they want, but it's not going to come near you through your prayer. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, even he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Huh. Well, that place is in prayer. You know, you got to be in a place of prayer, worship, repeating God's word and praising him. You know, you mingle all of that together. But a prayerless Christian, people say, is a powerless Christian. Well, I don't even know what kind of Christian they are if they don't know how to pray. You know, so, and we're going to spend time today to pray. One of the things, you know, that the scripture even talks about, you know, at the end of the age, we're going to need prayer, serious prayer for ourselves. You know, listen to this in verse 20 of Jude. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I mean, these are all the things that we should be doing. You know, build up our most holy faith. How do you do it? Well, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Spend time in his word, meditate, recite his word, know it, learn it, use it. The more you use your faith, the more it grows. Build yourself up that way. You pray in the Holy Spirit, you know. So praying in the Holy Spirit is one of those things. Some people interpret this verse as though praying in the Spirit is the thing that builds up your holy faith. But I interpret it as these are all the things you should be doing. You're building up yourself, your most holy faith, that's number one. Number two, you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that's number two. Number three, you're keeping yourselves in the love of God. Number four, you're looking for the mercy of Christ daily. You know, these are all the things you should be doing. You know, so, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that really mean? Well, does it mean we just, you know, remember Jesus warned us about vain repetition in prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So praying the Holy Spirit, does that mean we just blah, 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 something that has no meaning? No. Holy Spirit give people utterance. When people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it also comes with, you know, the enabling of this Spirit to speak with other tongues. And it's the Spirit that gives them utterance. Spirit gave them utterance in the beginning. They spoke the wonderful works of God. I mean, powerful, powerful way, you know, to keep yourself connected in the realm of the Spirit. Always pray in the Spirit. And something you can do, you know, all the times, you know, even silently, you can begin to pray in the Spirit. And so, there are many things out there today that are dangerous. Think of them as land mines. Navigating a field that's loaded with landmines, but you don't know where they are. And if you step on one, blow up, you know how it is. So how do we navigate without stepping on any landmine? Well, prayer. Prayer is the key. That's how you do it. And also your faith too. Now, praying without, you know, using faith to accompany it is really doesn't get very far. It's not exactly the prayer by itself that God answers your faith, but it comes through, you know, when you're using the word of God in prayer, you mingle it with your faith, that gets things going in the spirit realm. But we gotta pray. You gotta pray. Situations that you are facing on your job or whatever, prayer is going to be the key. Now, we've seen how through prayer, Peter was delivered from the hands of Herod in Acts chapter 12. Herod wanting to bring him out and kill him. The saints gathered together and kept praying. They prayed him out of there. I mean, we've seen in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison because they cast out a spirit of divination and all of that. Well, at midnight, we're told that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. We saw that. The next thing we know, there was a shaking, a breaking of the bars and chains and different things. I mean, prayer is just an amazing force. We can go on and on and on. Now, prayer comes in many forms. Prayer for yourself, your family, you know, prayer for others. And you may also be the recipient of prayers. Paul was always asking, pray for me, pray for us, that the word of God will not be hindered. That God will deliver me from unreasonable men and different things. I mean, it was always, you know, he always asked an enlisted prayer. Cherish the prayers of others. We need to pray for one another. We need, you know, pray for yourself, pray for one another. And nobody should ever be, you know, discouraged to the point where they don't want to pray. And, you know, that's a tactic of the enemy. If you don't want to pray, you don't feel like praying. Well, that's when you should pray even more. And there is nothing that we are going through that we should not be able to pray about. Because the Lord will say to you, why didn't you trust me with that? You know, even the feeling of prayerlessness, why didn't you trust me with that? You know, even when distractions come to you that prevent you from being more prayerful, spending more time in his presence, reading the word more and all these things, well, why didn't you trust me with that? There is nothing we are going through that the Lord cannot help us with. Holy Spirit is there. It's a governor to guide us through all those situations. But we got to be prayerful. When we are more prayerful, we hear the Lord more clearly. Gives us an opportunity to hear him. And prayer is not it's a two-way street. It's not just a one-way street. It's not talking to God. It's talking with God. You know, so let's make sure we know the difference. Many of us in our prayer life, we only talk to God. We don't wait to hear from him. You know, so, but prayer is a two-way street. It's conversational. You talk to God and he talks to you. So we call it talking with God because he's also talking to you. But if we say a prayer and jump off or run off and we don't wait to hear what he says, well, then that's not a complete, that's not a complete proper posture for prayer. I will stand upon my watch, Habakkuk said, and I will wait to see and to hear what the Lord will say unto me, you know, what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. So when you stand in the watch, prayer watch, well, then he will also speak back to you. Praise the Lord. He will give you inspiration. Might even give you strategy of what to do. And so prayer comes in many forms. Prayer could be us laying out our requests, or even, you know, it could be in a prayer battle. And that's one of the things that we need to be able to do from time to time. You know, when you are praying, but you're also battling spiritual forces in prayer. It's what Jesus was doing until blood was coming out of his head like sweat. So we're going to do some of that today. And you know, prayer is not a popular thing. In local churches everywhere, including our church, when we call for a prayer meeting, hardly anybody shows up. It's the same group of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 people that come all the time. Others, they don't have time for prayers. But that's where the power lies. You know, the people that are holding up the ministries, they are the ones that are spending time, even behind the scenes, praying. You know, and prayer is so good that the devil knows it, and he makes sure that everything else is what we are focused on, so that we will not be able to do that. In Exodus chapter 17, there's a story there that illustrates the power of support through prayers. You know, it's an illustration, but it brings us a point. Moses was on the mount. Joshua and others were down below fighting. And Moses had his arms raised up, which represent prayers. Because Paul said, you know, I exhort that every man everywhere lift up holy hands without doubting and without wrath. Just lift up holy hands. So his hands being lifted up are representing prayer. It can also represent, Lord, carry me. You know how little children, when they want to be carried by the parent, they come toward the parent, they lift up their arms and say, carry me. Yeah, but as his hands were getting heavy, you know, I mean, weary and so forth, you know, that also illustrates weariness in prayer. You need additional help, props, you know, and Aaron and all provided that. They came underneath him. They recognized it because, you know, when his hands were up, they were winning the fight below. When his hands were coming down, they started to lose. And so they recognized that it came under him. First of all, give him something to set upon so he'd be able to keep his hands up. And then they themselves helped him to hold his hands up. It's an illustration of the power of prayer to get continuous, sustained victory. These are the things. You know, we just wanted to give that exhortation before prayer. Now we're going to go into prayers. Remember, we are told that Elijah was a man of like passion, and he knew how to pray. You know, in the book of James chapter 5, we talked about it. You know, basically, he was telling people, you know, how to pray. There are many things he told us to pray for. He said, look, if you are sick, call for the elders of the church. and let them anoint the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save him. And if he, the Lord will raise him up, and if he had done anything wrong, the Lord will even forgive him. You know, talked about, you know, confession, faults one to another, pray for one another. See, prayer is right there, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer for righteous man availeth much. And he brought an example. He said, look, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as well, just like us. You know, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He also prayed again that if it rained again. I mean, he prayed and prayed, you know. Even the heavens that were brass at one time, he prayed it through and the heaven gave rain. So these examples are in the scriptures. Now, whatever it is, first of all, protection for our families, for your family, protection every day. We got to pray it every day. Can't say I prayed yesterday. You prayed it yesterday, pray it again today. Hallelujah. Now, you know, guidance throughout the day, it's very, very important. You know, all the things and all the vices and tricks of the enemy, these are things that we must be praying about. You know, the devil brings fear, brings anxiety, we pray about it, brings unbelief and doubt, we pray about it. You know, it tries to cause our hearts to be rebellious and go away from the Lord. We pray about that. You know, sometimes pride and arrogance tries to set in. We pray about that. Sometimes the devil tries to bring confusion and perplexity. We pray about that. Discouragement, one of his A1 tools, and disappointment. We pray about that. Sometimes it brings weariness and fatigue. We pray about that. Sometimes sicknesses, diseases. Pray about that. You know, that we will not be, you know, subject, you know, the victims of these things, terror, oppression. You say the enemy shall not, you know, terrorize you or oppress you. You shall be far from terror and oppression. We're not coming here. We pray against these things, heavy burdens and yokes that devil try to put upon us. We'll pray about it. Pray against failures and losses. Pray for successes in the things that you do. Pray for protection. You know, sometimes the devil tries to just bring havoc, create sorrow all of a sudden. I mean, we're hearing the other day about, you know, a family that just finished rejoicing and all of a sudden right after that, some tragedy happened. I mean, we need to pray against these things. Pray that we will not be weary, we will not slumber, we'll pray against stagnation. You will pray and pray all the time. You know, and all the, when you have situations that you can't deal with, devil tries to bring unforgiveness, bitterness, all these things. Pray. So right now, we're going to go into prayers. First, I'm going to do a quick prayer, and then we're going to go into rounds of prayers. My question is, have you understood these things? Jesus asked his disciples that question from time to time. And some of us think of ourselves as prayer people, you know, but you may not be praying yet enough. Are there not 12 hours in the day, Jesus said, and that's just the half of the day part, really, because scripture considers the day, you know, as you know, from dawn to dusk. But the dusk to dawn part is still part of the day, but it's considered the night. So if you look at it, you got 12 hours, or you look at it, you got 24 hours. How much of that time do we spend in prayers? And just praying, you know. So let's do it. I'm going to pray over the room, then we're going to go into prayers together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for call to prayer. And every day we must suit up with the mantle of prayer. And we must go into the day well prepared, having prayed through. Hallelujah. Pray through in the morning, keep praying through the day. Prevent many snares. I pray, Lord, for the grace of God through prayer to open our eyes to see. The Bible says that we are not ignorant. The device of the devil, the things that he's planning. Scripture says, when you set a trap in plain sight of a bird, you're doing it in vain because he can see you. In vain is any trap set in the plain sight of a bird. I pray, Lord, that our spiritual eyes will be opened to see traps that the devil is trying to set for us. Throughout the day, he's trying to set some traps for you. But it's not going to work because you can see it in the spirit. Hallelujah. And when you can see it, you will escape it. Glory to God. And so, Lord, I pray, you know, that any net that the enemy is spreading, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17, the devil is spreading any net, any trap, any snare for us to fall into. Well, as he is spreading it, he said it's in vain in the sight of any bird. And so, Lord, give us spiritual vision. Glory to God. Call discernment at times. That we may be able to see what the devil is planning. You know, the prudent man foreseeth the evil through prayer, and he hideth himself. But the simple and the prayerless ones, you know, they pass on and they get into trouble and they are punished. I pray, Lord, that we will be like the prudent that can foresee evil. By the eye of faith, the spiritual eyes, we see what the devil is planning. And we can pray to avoid those snares. This net that the devil is setting. Sudden illnesses, sicknesses, diseases, depression, discouragement, and the like. Even the scourge of the tongue. People begin to say things that, you know, after a while people get discouraged from all the things they're hearing. On your job, different things and so forth. You know, we want to pray that the Lord will give us, you know, the grace to see and understand the plans of the enemy and how we can escape. Hallelujah. Through prayer, the Holy Spirit will drop a word in your heart, give you understanding and strategy of what you would do when such things come. He can even reveal it to you ahead of time. John 16 and 13. Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, as we go into prayer now, everybody receive the mantle of prayer. Prayer fire time. Hallelujah. And we're going to pull down strongholds. The Bible says, you know, we walk not in the, even though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh, but our weapons are mighty, they're not carnal. You can pull down strongholds. Glory to God. And every stronghold that devil has already set up or is planning to set up through prayer, pull them down in Jesus' name. Lack of progress and various gates and bars that he put up against us. Break them down by prayer, by declaration of the word of God. And we'll escape sudden sicknesses, illnesses, accident, traps, and different things, entrapments. And the devil said, we will escape in Jesus' name through prayer. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.